Yeah, we have. Once again, you're always trying to create competition. You're always trying to get the best players you can, regardless of position. So sometimes it works, like we've talked about, into positions of need. Sometimes it doesn't, but certainly feel group good about the group that we got. Well, I thought going in we'd make somewhere between 10 and 11 and possibly even 12 picks, with the idea that we were going to move up and burn a couple and hopefully slide back and pick a couple up. So we went in with 13. We came out of it with, with picking 11, and really came out of it with 12 because we picked up the third for next year.
Were there options, or did you want to pick up more than just the one for next year?
We're always trying to pick up picks, so there weren't a lot of opportunities today. The phones were pretty quiet. We explored moving up a couple of times, explored moving back, but for the most part, the phones were pretty quiet today.
Can you talk about what factored in the decision to take Marcus Lattimore?
Well, we love him. Obviously, he's one heck of a football player. And he's one heck of a young man. He fits everything we're looking for. When we talk about a 49er, he's the type of young man we're talking about. He's that type of guy. And obviously, he's got the injury to overcome. We're very confident that he can do that, and very confident in our medical staff and our strength and conditioning staff to get him back in as close to 100%, if not 100%.
Chris Culver, obviously known from South Carolina. I don't know if he gave any input to you about what he was like, but or did Frank Gore as well?
We always talk to our players about guys throughout the process that are on the board. We certainly don't call them on draft day and say, hey, what do you think about this guy? But, we're always communicating with our players, especially guys that played with them at the same university, guys at the same position that may know them. And Frank certainly loves to be an evaluator, so we always talk to Frank.
What was Frank's scouting report on it?
You'd have to ask Frank that. But Frank's obviously very high on the young man, and I'm sure is looking at it with great pleasure, with the ability to come in and mentor a guy.
Just looking at stats, seem to have some of his biggest games against, some of the better teams, better defenses out there. Does that matter to you that he really rose to the occasion against SEC teams better?
Well, he really caught, I did a stop at Texas A&M this year and happened to watch that game while I was at Texas A&M. And that's where, he kind of caught my eye personally. But certainly the scouts that went through there really liked him, liked him as a competitor, liked him just as a football player, and felt that from a character standpoint, he was a good fit as well. And then he jumped out at us at the Senior Bowl, went into the Senior Bowl. Just as you said, Matt, the lights weren't too big. They weren't too bright for him. He got off the bus ready to go, competed very hard, showed very well there. So another big stage. So that always helps in the evaluation of these guys.
Quentin Patton, is he a guy that's going to stretch the field vertically for you guys? How does he fit in this passing attack?
He's just a good, solid all-around receiver. He's got very good receiving skills. Stretch the field. Can he run deep? If that's the question, he runs well enough to get behind defenders. Is he a 4-2 guy? No, but he runs well enough to get vertical. And he's a very good route runner. He's a strong route runner, and he's a savvy route runner.
Is he a guy that can play in the slot for you guys?
Well, we feel he can play all over the place. For us, in our system, and what we ask these guys to do.
He said he thought you needed to get better as a blocker, maybe get stronger. To be on the field three downs. Is that something you would agree with at this point?
Well, I don't know about three downs, for a receiver. He needs to – all of these guys coming in need to get stronger. They need to get in the weight room. That goes for everybody. So that's certainly – it's nice to hear that he's pointing that out as well. And we try to find guys that are committed to that part of the process, guys that are willing to come in and work hard and improve themselves, especially in the off season. Now, these guys coming in don't have a big, you know, a long stretch before they got to get after it here. But you're always looking for those kind of guys, the do extra type.
The vast majority of your picks come from the South. They play good college football in the South. Was there anything to it beyond that?
I don't think so, because I think I saw an article a while back that someone wrote that said we've only drafted one or two players from the Southeast Conference. So, you know, once again, we set the board regardless of school, and we play the board, however the board falls. If they're from the Southeast Conference, great. If they're from the Mid-America, great. It doesn't matter to us. A football player is a football player. They all put their pants on the same way.
What do you like about the tackle from Iowa State?
Toughness. You know, he's a tough guy. He's a guy that's not afraid to get dirty, plays left tackle in a tough conference where you got to handle the edges. Just the grit, the intelligence, the work ethic, all of those things played into that.
Are any of these guys candidates to take over
Well, I think we've got enough options within our current roster to handle that, and certainly going to give anybody that's willing to step back there and handle the duties an opportunity to do so. Could be, yes.
Speaking of B.J. Daniels, what stood out in the athleticism of the team so
much? Well, I think Coach was just in here. He probably answered all those questions for you. But just liked his athletic instincts. He's a playmaker, and he won big games on the road. You know, he went into Florida State, into Tallahassee, and won a game there. He's won big games throughout his career there. He's a fearless competitor, and just has a lot of qualities that we liked, and certainly the coaching staff liked and thought would be a nice young man to work with.
Jim didn't touch too much on Quentin Dial. What are you seeing there?
A big man, a very big man, a young man that's really underdeveloped. You know, he's a junior college guy that went to Alabama and didn't get a ton of playing time there. His first year started to come on a little bit this year. Never been a full-time starter. Just a big, raw guy that we brought in here for a visit, really fell in love with the personality and the story and think that his upside is real big.
What about Cooper, the last guy taken? What do you see in him?
A tall corner that runs pretty well, plays pretty good football, and just a guy that has the traits you're looking for at the position, and hopefully you bring him in and they develop.
When you're calling undrafted guys right now, is it an easier sales pitch right now, since you guys are coming off the Super Bowl, to want to join this team?
Well, it can be good and bad. You know, the good part is, yeah, we've had some success around here. The bad part is agents and these young guys, they want to go where they feel they got the best chance to make the team. And so it depends on the position. If their agent's selling them on the fact that, you know, there's no room at the inn at that position, they're probably going to go somewhere else. Every now and then we're able to, you know, bring in some guys and that really want to compete at a position. But it can be difficult. But our coaches and our scouting staff, I mean, we just finished up there. You know, they worked tirelessly at getting these guys and recruiting them, not just today, but we've been on this process for the last, you know, 20-some-odd days, calling these guys, staying in touch with them, letting them know of our interest and things. So it's a process. Well, we had him in for a visit, you know, so we've been on him for quite some time. But as far as who we've signed, we're still in the completion stage upstairs. So when I get back up there, I'll know better of who's committed and who hasn't committed. But until they sign, they're not, you know, they can go anywhere they want.
Is it 19? Do you have 19 spots
available? I would have to check.
Do you have to stay at standard 90 at this point?
You don't have to stay under 90 until you could sign as many as you'd like. You have to be at 90. You can't have more than 90 under contract at one time. So, you know, no one signed anything. The rookie pool hasn't signed yet. So you could conceivably be over right now, but you just, before they sign contracts, you can only have 90 under contract.
Do you, I know there's some talk about still veterans, but are you, the roster set now?
It's never set. The roster, we've been through this. The roster's never set. You know, the roster today could change tomorrow. The roster a month from now could change the very next day. We're always looking at ways to improve the roster, and whether that's through college free agency now, which we're going in, guys that are on the street, unrestricted free agents that are out there, street free agents. We're always churning. We're always looking for ways to improve the roster.
Your division rivals all added very fast slot receivers this offseason, Ryan Swope, Tavon Austin, and Percy Harvin. I take it you're confident in Carlos Rogers' ability to run those guys?
We're confident in the players that we have in our locker room.
Do you have to kind of keep up with the Joneses, though, and when you see, you know, a team is adding those players, a team then make a counter move at any point?
Once again, I think, you know, it's all how you look at this. I mean, we feel like the players that we added to this roster are going to improve the depth on this roster. They're going to improve the competition on this roster, and with no assurances to anyone. You know, everyone has to earn their job. This is a new year, so everyone that was on the roster prior to the last 3 days and all the ones coming in, they're going to have to earn their spot. There's no givens.
Who competes? Who do you see competing for that slot cornerback role besides Carlos?
Well, I think that, you know, once again, the coaches can talk more about the scheme and everything else, but there's other guys. Cully's certainly capable of moving inside. Parrish has played inside. You know, Namdi's played inside before. You know, you always talk about matchups. You know, are we manning up these guys, or are we playing zone and covering them in an umbrella type of situation? So, I think you got to look at it a lot of different ways, and you take care of certain things with scheme more than just one-on-one matchups.